California's new privacy rights. Wise suffers a data leak. What you need to know about it. Why it might be easier to file your taxes for free this year. And the best journaling apps if you're trying to kick off 2020 with a fresh start. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. Plus, it's where I answer your questions. We've got producer Megan here, ready with your questions.
Happy
there
New
she
Year.
Is. Happy New Year. I would like to say that we improved the podcast for the New Year, but we didn't. Let's be honest. I mean, I'm basically rolling in here fresh off of vacation for a week. And I will tell you, I was trying to figure out what made this vacation different than other vacations. And here's what I realized. It is the first time that I had a week off without going out of town or having family members in town.
Oh.
So by like day 3, day 4, I'm like, why does this feel so good? And that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
So I literally did not do anything, didn't check email. I was on social media once a day. And that was it.
That's
it was
so
like,
nice.
It was just very like, let go of everything and kind of come back. And now we're getting back into it because it is 2020 and there's no more fooling around because CES is happening very soon, which means I try to avoid my emails for the entire week, but that is nearly impossible because every day and every tech person I know, you're just getting bombarded with emails from CES. I'm looking at my calendar for next week and it is more filled than I've ever seen. There's no way I'm going to be able to do all these things
it's
that I actually
crazy.
Put in the calendar, but I will try.
Yeah.
And it will be tough. But my goal is to always bring the coolest CES coverage. There's so many things there. I try to find the stuff that is for the everyday person and stuff that like will actually come to fruition. Because a lot of times there's like pie in the sky, these big ideals, you know, 8K, 16K. That's cool, but I want to know the stuff that's going to come out in the next year that's going to be really useful and that's going to be maybe not as flashy as the big stuff that just looks cool on TV, but that, you know, you can actually use. Like what, you know, if you have Hue lights in your home, like, well, what are they coming out with to make those easier? Or, you know, we just had this story come out today. C by GE makes some of my favorite lights. And, you know, just last week I was looking for like a motion sensor for those lights and it turns out they're going to be unveiling those at CES. So it's like little things like that that I think are more interesting. I also saw a refrigerator that lets you grow your own indoor vegetables. So I thought that was pretty cool. I can't wait to see that. Perfect for urban gardeners. I have a feeling in California people will be growing something other than carrots. But we'll see. All right, so you have probably been getting a lot of emails from companies about new privacy changes and their privacy policy. And I know in my email, it's just been one after another, and I ignored a lot of them until I looked into it because a lot of people emailed me and they're like, Rich, what is going on? Well, here's the deal. As of January 1st, we have a new thing called the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA. And even if you don't live in California, this probably will affect you in certain ways because it's similar to what happened over in Europe with GDPR. That was their General Data Protection Regulation. Basically, it's privacy protections for consumers. And even though Europe enacted those for European consumers, a lot of it transferred over to the US because, look, if you're a company like Facebook and you have to abide by all of these privacy regulations, in many cases, it's much easier just to put them out for everyone instead of just people in Europe. I mean, how do you filter a person coming from Europe to your website and say, oh, only these apply to you? And it's the same thing with California. So now you have to filter someone from Europe and California and everyone else. It makes it very complicated. So a lot of these companies are just blanket updating their privacy policies to kind of apply to everyone. Here's what this CCPA does for you. Number one, you can ask a copy to produce or ask a company to produce a copy of all of the information it has gathered on you. And a lot of this is coming from the LA Times story. It's 2020. You might have some new privacy rights online, they say. And so that's number one. Now, that's what GDPR did as well. And companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google have allowed you to do this for a long time. They call it takeout or things like that, where you can just download a bunch of the information. This is very specific about what you should be able to download. Now, the other thing you can do is ask for that information to be deleted, and they will delete it. And so you can do that as well. And the third is what they're calling opt-out, which seems like it would be pretty straightforward, but it's really not, because when you're talking about the internet, like I looked at the bottom of the LA Times website, and a lot of these websites have a new button that says, do not sell my personal information. And you can click it, and then there's a toggle at the bottom that says, basically, opt out of all my, like everything you just collected from me on this website, don't share it with anyone else, don't sell it to anyone else, which is kind of odd. So you can do that, but it feels like it's a one-time thing. Like, I don't think that that continues for like over and over for every
and
visit.
And that's through
that
the LA Times?
Well, that's through any website. Like, if you go to the bottom of like a lot of these websites now, let's just look at BuzzFeed, because I'm curious if they're, you know, they're in California, right? They're serving up California. So let's see, if I go all the way down to BuzzFeed. Now, the problem is with a lot of these websites, you can't scroll to the bottom of the website.
Yeah, there's no bottom.
There is no bottom on BuzzFeed.
It just keeps loading.
It just goes and goes. They call that infinite scroll. So I guess I can't see BuzzFeed. Let's try NewYorkTimes.com. What's another like news? I guess we can try ours and see.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, New York Times, I scroll to the bottom and it just refreshes the whole page. Okay, wait, I think it stopped. Oh, no, I can't. Okay. Anyway.
We'll have to play around with that.
So that's what the deal is. And you, if you really want to have some fun, I think two takeaways from this. Number one, California now has one of the strictest online privacy laws in the nation, which is good. California has always been ahead when it comes to privacy and rules and regulations and all that good stuff. So it's good. It's happening here first, but I think it kind of filters out to the rest of the nation. That's number one. Number two, these companies are collecting a lot of data on us, and that's pretty apparent. If you want to look through, like, just open one of the emails that you've gotten that says we're updating our privacy policy and just kind of click through to the updated policy. And it's actually written in pretty clear terms what they collect. Like, I was reading the one for Postmates, and they're collecting, like, everything. Like, when you're using the app, when you're opening the app, where you're going when you're using the app, they use when you're in motion so that they know if you're traveling in front of a business that you might want to get something from. I mean, it's really crazy.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so
it's wild.
It is wild. Well, it's a new frontier.
Yeah. Well, so that connects to our first question from Gwendolyn. What is the Facebook privacy notice about? And should we as users ask for our information to be deleted?
So I'm trying to see if I actually got the Facebook privacy notice from Facebook. I imagine that was probably one of the first to come through. But let's see. That's kind of tough to find because there's so many emails with Facebook. But what she's asking is if you should opt out. With something like Facebook, I'm not sure you can opt out, because if you go to their privacy policy, I mean, to use Facebook, they have to collect information on you. I mean, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree to that policy and you want to opt out, I believe you basically have to stop using the service, because how can you use Facebook, which is tracking you, your friends, your contacts, where you go, where you check in, your location, the things you like, the things you share? How can it do anything without that information? So if you opt out, there's really not much you can do.
You delete your account.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, yeah, you can't really use it without, you know, without giving them that information. So I think if you want to opt out, number one, you can't really use Facebook. And I'm sure Facebook in their privacy policy says, like, look, if you want to opt out of this, you're welcome to, but we have to close your account, because unless there's a way to use Facebook without all of this data being collected, I don't know it, but that would be pretty amazing, because the way that Facebook makes money is through our data. I mean, they sell ads against what they know about us. And that's where you get all those crazy little ads that people email me about all the time that always seem too good to be true. You know, like, what did my wife buy? Like, Lindsay bought like a dress off an ad. She like looked up and all of a sudden she's like, the perfect dress popped up in my feed.
Like, was she talking about it?
And she was searching for dresses.
Okay.
But I guess whatever keywords she searched, the companies had then sold an ad against that. And next thing you know, it was like the perfect dress. And I forget if it worked out or not, but you know, it's all these companies do the same thing, but that's how they work. They get your data. So Gwendolyn, I think if you are not comfortable with what Facebook is doing, then you can opt out. But really, I think opt out means that you got to quit the service. That's kind of the agreement, is like, hey, we'll use all the stuff that you feed to us and give you this free service that has connected billions of people around the world in really interesting ways. And let's not forget that Facebook also owns Instagram. So the same thing is happening there. And Instagram at this point, I would argue, it's probably not more popular, like theoretically, like it feels, you know,
like numbers wise.
Yeah. But it feels like when I'm looking at people scrolling, they're on Instagram, not so much Facebook anymore, although I still see a lot of Facebook. All right, let's talk about more privacy stuff. This happened over the break. I call it the break. I mean, we didn't have a podcast last week, so theoretically there was a little break. Wyze, you might remember that name because myself, along with a lot of other people, recommended their cameras. And this is a very popular security camera because it was super cheap. It was, I think, about $20 for the Wyze Cam. And that's what made it seem too good to be true. And I hate for people to think like, oh, I told you so, Rich, because you said this was such a good thing. And now look at what happened. They got breached. They suck. And I don't think that's the case here. Yeah, the camera's $20. They actually have a nice black version now. It's kind of cool.
Oh.
But the beauty of this little camera is that nobody could believe in a world of $100 security cameras that any company could come up with a $20 camera. And what they did was they just made it simpler and easier. And these were smart guys that used to work at Amazon and gals. And they just said, hey, let's make a device, you know, that's $20 and it does all the things you need. And the best part about Waze is the way you navigate. The best part about Wyze is that it will take little clips and send them to the cloud for you for free. And it's not unlimited. It's like 14 days worth of clips, and they're limited to a certain amount of time, maybe 10 seconds. But if someone breaks into your home, all you need is a 30-second clip of them, you know, moving in front of the camera, and you've got their face. So that was really cool. And a lot of you bought these things. I mean, I think this Wyze story was one of the most popular stories we did in either 2017 or 2018. I can't remember what year it was, but it was a couple years ago, and it was super. I mean, I got emails about this camera for months on end. And I don't think that I was wrong about this company. I still would recommend them. In fact, I have one of these in my house that my kid used to try to capture Santa on, you know, Christmas Eve. But here's what happened in this breach. Basically, what was stolen was, or what was exposed, I should say, because no one has necessarily used this information in nefarious ways. It's just, it's out there. But Wyze nicknames, so what you called your cameras in the app, device names, user emails, your profile photos, your Wi-Fi router name, and also some Alexa integration tokens. So if you had one of these connected to either Alexa or Google Assistant, that connection, you might have noticed, broke over the holidays. And you're probably sitting there going, wait, why is this no longer working with Alexa or Google? That's because, as a precaution, they just reset all of those tokens.
Oh.
So you just have to go in and reestablish that connection. So who was affected by the breach? At first, they were saying people that signed up December 4th through 26th. Apparently, it's all users that created an account prior to December 26th. But what was not taken, or what was not, the information did not contain, is passwords, personal financial data, which AKA credit cards, and video files. So those three things arguably are the things that you would worry about the most in a security breach. So with that said, it's like, okay, you could breathe a little sigh of relief, but at the same time, if you named your camera, you know, something really interesting, you know, like a funny name, and it's linked to your username, that could be kind of embarrassing. Otherwise, it's kind of like we dodged a little bullet here because, you know, it's bad. Anytime that data is stolen or exposed, it's not good. And we don't like to hear that. And it gives Wyze kind of like, you know, people are like, oh, I knew that was a cheap camera. Maybe their security's not that good. And if you look at Wyze's forum where they talk about a lot of these questions, they say, they actually have a question I thought was great. Let me find it here in this paperwork. My hands are so dry. Every time before CES, my hands get like the driest possible. And then CES doesn't help because it's the driest place on the planet.
Yeah, you need those gloves.
The
like lotion gloves.
Okay, so full disclosure, there was a year at CES I actually slept in those.
Yeah, I
because
feel like that
because I
would
had help. To. I was so, my hands were so dry that I was like, "This is who wants to see dry, crackly, red hands?"
I have dry hands too, and
it's ridiculous. And we live in LA, which I don't even understand. But and then at CES, you're washing your hands a lot because you don't want to get sick. So it's this whole big thing. But that's funny you say that because I actually went out and bought those one year and I slept in them and I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
It is like, funny. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it worked.
It's
okay.
Smart.
So in their blog post, they say we've often heard people say you pay for what you get. Mm-hmm. I think people say you get what you pay for. I think they got that a little wrong. But assuming Wyze products are less secure because they're less expensive, and Wyze says this is not true. We've always taken security very seriously, and we're devastated that we let our users down like this. This is a clear signal that we need to totally revisit all WISE security guidelines in all aspects, better communicate those protocols to WISE employees, and bump up priority for user-requested security features beyond two-factor authentication. And I think they might force you to put on two-factor authentication at this point, which you should. But what happened here? How did this get exposed? Well, let's see. How did they do
it? Wasn't it like one employee or something?
Yeah, I guess. Let's see here. Let's see. It says, we've been auditing all of our servers and databases. We discovered an additional database that was left unprotected. Anyway, basically, yeah, something went wrong. So they figured it out. And if you have a WISE camera, I don't think all is lost. I just think that with anything, always set up two-factor authentication and always understand that with all of these IoT devices, there's always a chance this can happen.
Yeah.
And I will say, in this respect, I think we got the best case scenario, which is your credit card and your video files were not leaked.
Right.
So that's
right.
Good news.
Okay. Our next question comes from Lucy, and she wrote in on richontech.tv. She filled out the contact section, and that's how she was able to send this question. As we begin a new decade, I would like to clean out my drawers and closets of old technology devices. I have broken tablets, iPhones, Trio, refurbished laptops, basically a decade of old technology and power cords. I don't want to just trash them in an e-waste collection. I would really like to go through saved pictures and documents. Is there a way to do this? Can you help me?
Okay.
Couple questions, I think.
Well, let's see. The first question about the saved documents and photos, I mean, there's not really a simple way to do that. You kind of have to power all these things up and go through and just kind of collect the stuff that's on them. I mean, there's no like magical formula. Now, there used to be a device that I would have recommended, but it went out of business. It was this little box, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it was a little box that you would plug your devices into and would basically like find all the pictures off those devices and kind of put it on that box.
Oh.
And it was kind of cool. But it went out of business. So I have this box sitting at home with all these pictures on it that I can no longer access. And I will tell you that they did give me a runway of like, time's running out, you need to get all those photos off. Oh. And I just never did.
Okay.
And so now I just have this box forever that's...
You'll never be able to get anything out of it?
Yeah, basically. I'm sure maybe one day if I really tried. But
yeah.
So the first thing you got to do is go through and try to get all these documents off, which means powering up those computers. I would recommend probably the easiest thing to do is just get Google Photos for the photos. You literally install it on the computer with their special helper app, and it will scan the hard drive and upload all the photos to there. I would do that. With the documents, you're just going to have to go through and kind of grab what you need.
Yeah.
I love that you have a Palm Trio. I will tell you a story. I've been obsessed with cell phones for my entire life, basically. And I remember making my wife drive. When I lived in Louisiana, the closest Best Buy was like 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was 3 hours. And so we had to drive 3 hours to buy this phone, this Palm Trio that came out. It was brand new. And I had to have it the first day, and I drive there, and then we get to the checkout, and it was like $800, you know, like full price or whatever. Like, I think it was $599, which seemed like a lot, you know. And I get there, and she's like, $600? You didn't tell me it was that much, because like a lot of times cell phones were like free at the time, you know, like or
right.
like $100 or whatever. This was before iPhone. And anyway, so I just remember driving to this and getting, and now I think of that
being
phone.
Being so excited.
Oh my gosh, and that phone is like, it was cool at the time. Yeah. Now it'd be like nothing if you had it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm glad you have the Palm Trio. Now, when it comes to recycling these products, no, you don't want to just throw them in your trash can. You can recycle them. Two places I'd recommend looking into, because I just did this with my mom.
Yeah, I saw your, didn't you tweet about this?
I did. Staples. So Staples, if you look on their website, items accepted for free recycling is basically everything. So, you know, let's see, our cell phone. Yeah, cell phones are on there. Laptops are on there. GPS devices. Everything is recyclable there. And you just bring it to your local store. They will recycle them securely and responsibly, any brand, any condition. The only things you cannot bring are alkaline batteries, appliances, like giant printers, like the floor, like the ones you have at your work, like a printer, like a kitchen electronics, bulbs, speakers, smoke detectors, and TVs, but they will take monitors. Now, in California, and this is why my mom and I actually went to Staples versus Best Buy. In New Jersey, Best Buy will take a lot of this stuff as well. There is a limitation, so you have to put in your zip code, and it will tell you a lot of times you can only bring back like 3 items a day. So you can bring in like 3, you know, computers.
Mm-hmm.
But they limit 3 household items per day.
Because they just don't want to have
they don't want you to bring like a dump truck, you know, and plus that could, I think it's mainly for like, let's say I started a company where I go to your house and like collect all your stuff. Then I just dump it off like at the end of the week at Best Buy. They want to keep that probably at bay.
Right.
So the average person, you know, three things. So, again, in a lot of cities or a lot of states, if you want to do a monitor at Best Buy, they're going to charge you $25, which is still pretty darn good. You can bring it for free to Staples. So I'd always go to Staples.
If you can.
If you can. And but in California, they don't have any drop-off fees. So again, California, like I talk about, is very progressive in a lot of their laws and things. They clearly want people to recycle properly. And so there are no fees for drop-offs in California. Now, I'm telling you this based on what I see on the website. I would call just to be sure. Like I called Staples before I went in and asked them, and you know they told me all that stuff. So just call wherever you are. But two really easy ways to recycle stuff. And believe me, It's I actually have a TV because I upgraded a little TV in the playroom, and I'm going to bring that to one of these, probably just Staples, and just you know, bring that in and get it recycled.
Did you sell it on eBay? Or
no,
is it
it's too yeah, it's too small. And nowadays you can buy TVs for, let me see actually, can I not bring a TV? Oh, never mind. I can't bring a TV into Staples.
Oh, okay.
Can I bring a TV into Best Buy? Let's see. TV and video. You can recycle for $25 a tube, a flat panel less than 50. So perfect.
Oh.
$25. So, and I might also check and see if California, like if LADWP, since we live in Los Angeles, might take that for free. There's an app called the LA311 app that is very good about helping you understand if they'll haul away this stuff for free. Good question. And I'm glad I just did that with my mom. I was a little concerned with the hard drive on the laptop or the computer because, you know, it still had some stuff on there, and they say they're going to wipe it and do it responsibly. I just hope they do that. You know, and you, and that's the other thing. My recommendation, I just recycled my other laptop through Apple. I did wipe everything off there manually with my mom's. It was too old and kind of decrepit that we didn't want to do that. But I would recommend, if you can, to wipe your stuff, even though these companies say they're going to do it for you. But you never know.
Just in case.
Yeah, you might get some kid in there that's like, oh, let me take a look at this. And, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better just to be feel secure in knowing that your stuff is gone. Speaking of personal information, it might be easier to file your taxes this year for free. And I always knew that Intuit, you know, the developers of TurboTax, which, by the way, I've used to file my taxes, and I actually was very impressed with their system. But what I don't like is on the back end of what Intuit and TurboTax are doing is they're lobbying to make taxes way more complicated than they need to be. And if you've ever filed your taxes, which I'm sure you have, or is this year your first year, maybe?
This is like my second year.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
It is.
It's just this whole big thing where like nobody really knows. And you talk to five different people, you get five different answers. And so it's just kind of annoying. But anyway, so here's the deal. IRS and Intuit and all these companies that make these turbo or these tax filing systems, they basically had a deal for many years that they would hide their free products from search engines like Google so that it made it tough for people to find them. So when you search for like online tax filing, you wouldn't immediately find the free filing from TurboTax. You would just find their paid. And maybe if you hunted down on their website, you might see something about free, but then you might not be able to cross-reference. You're like, well, that seems kind of shady. Like, why
That's
would I do
so
it for
shady.
Free? So apparently this is all ending, and now you can... You'll be able to find the free filing options a lot easier this year.
Okay.
Which is good. Now, when you look at free filing options, it doesn't apply to everyone. It's you have to make under a certain amount, and your return has to be a certain simplicity. So if you run a small business, or you're doing an LLC, or you've got a Schedule C, or all these random things that people have, you're not going to be able to file for free. You still need to get, and you probably want to have a tax professional that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But if you have like one W-2 and you work one job, like I think you do.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. You put in your stuff and you can file for free.
That's nice.
As long as you, as long
you
as
you have there, to make a,
there's
make
an income
under
limit.
A certain,
yeah. And I don't know what that limit is, but there, you know, you can see it on there. But the point is, isn't it crazy that these companies like the IRS and, you know, these other, you know, tax companies were, had a deal. And by the way, I got to give props where it's due. ProPublica, is the, I guess, journalistic or the journalism organization that sort of forced these changes because they kept doing things about highlighting these little kind of shady deals that these companies had.
And I read somewhere that they were targeting students too, like out of student, like just out of college students.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If you have one W-2 and you have, like, that's a lot of people in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so if they can all file for free, but a lot of times you don't realize that. And even if they can get $5 or $10 out of you, times millions of people in the U.S., that's a significant amount of money.
Totally.
So we'll see if this year it's better. The other thing that it frees the IRS up to do is to create their own system for filing. Now, I kind of have mixed feelings on this, because on the one side I say, well, who knows taxes better than the IRS, right? And the IRS should theoretically know how much you made, because all of these companies are reporting to them.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a legit company, when you get your W-2, your company is also reporting that information to the IRS.
Right.
And so for you, Megan, you would log on and just, you'd like put in your social, and they'd be like, oh, here's your information that we got from your company. Is this all correct? And then they would calculate your taxes and say, boom, 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 you're done.
Why can't they do that?
Now they can. Now they're free to do that.
Okay.
They haven't created that system. Now, the other side of me says, oh, wait a second. Do I really trust the IRS to say, here's how much you made? And now let's say they say you made more than you made. Now you have to fight that information and kind of like.
And then they're like, you owe us.
Exactly.
$1,000. And you're like, oh, I thought I was going to make some money.
Right. Well, so I see both sides of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is, I think it's good that they kind of dropped these weird do not compete agreements they had that we didn't really know about.
This next question comes from Marsha. Love, love the show. What is the easiest way to get MP3 music ripped from CDs that are on my Windows 10 computer to play on my iPhone without using iTunes? Is there an app you recommend that will sync with my computer?
Oh, yes, there is. I love this question because I love this app. It is the best app you'll ever find
for
an iPhone. It is called Walter 2. And I believe I've talked about it on this podcast before. It might have predated Megan, but WALTR2. And once you install this on your computer, whether you have a Mac or a PC, you literally drag and drop any file, not just an MP3. Uh-huh. You can drag and drop a book file. You can drag and drop a MP3 file. You can drag and drop a PDF. I don't know, maybe not PDFs, but basically, yeah, maybe PDFs. Let's see. PDFs. Ringtones, videos, anything that you can find. The iPhone is amazing because it plays all these like crazy files and stuff. And like it's you can have your music on there, your videos, your books. But a lot of times to get them on there in the past, it's been kind of tough. And that leads a lot of people to just buy things from iTunes.
Yeah.
And to buy books from Apple Books. Because when you go to, like a lot of people when they're buying my book, they would say, Rich, you'd go to the Amazon app and it would say, if you go to try to buy the Kindle version of my book, it would say, this is not compatible with this app or this iPhone or something like that, which is totally confusing because it is compatible. It's just you can't buy it from the Amazon app. You have to actually buy it from a desktop and then download it to your phone. So it's
confusing.
So it's little things like this that makes Walter 2 so cool. And what they did was they kind of reverse engineered how iTunes works. And they figured out where, when you drag something into iTunes and sync it to your phone, they figured out how to make it route into the right app. So if you drag a video file, which by the way, it can be any format, because iPhone's very picky about the formats that it plays. So you can take any format video file and just drag it into this app. It will convert it all in the background and put it on your phone. It is really fantastic. And you know, people that have old music, you know, old music videos, old like old CDs that you want to rip. And back in the day, and what was the person's name again?
Marsha.
Marsha was saying that she doesn't want to use iTunes. I mean, iTunes, as far as I know, back in the day, always had a ripping solution in it. I don't know if it still does now that they've changed iTunes and they've changed it now to just music, it's called. But it was very easy to just rip things and also get them onto your phone or your iPod.
Right.
Now, I think that's a little bit too tough. Anyway, Walter 2 is the app that you should definitely try out and just go ahead and try it. You can download it for free. If you want to use it indefinitely, I believe you have to pay. I think it's $40.
Okay.
But I've had this app for years and I kind of forget about it every now and then because so much of what I do now is like I pay for YouTube so I can download. Actually, I don't pay for it anymore. I just canceled that, but I'm probably going to re-get that. But with like YouTube, you could, it's just I don't really have a need to put all these random files on my phone anymore.
Yeah.
But if I did, this is the way that I would do it. It's so easy. When you drag and drop stuff, you will not believe how simple it is. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
So anyway, Walter 2, it's made by a company called Softorino. Softorino, R-I-N-O. Great question. All right. Let's talk about what people ordered on Amazon over the holidays. It feels like the holidays were so long ago because we've gone through Christmas, we've gone through New Year's Eve. So, but let's take a look back at what Amazon said was most popular. This was a record-breaking holiday season. Of course they say that because Amazon continues to grow at a fast clip. So every year is going to be record-breaking. When it's not, we have a problem. That means that Amazon has stopped growing. And Amazon, as big as they seem, you know, they still have a very far way to go. And I know a lot of people think that they rule the world, but believe me, there's still other places out there. I have a theory that at the end of the day, the only places left standing, have I told you this before, are going to be Target, Walmart, Amazon, and like Kroger.
Oh.
And then once those are the only four and they put all the little places out of business, it's like game over for prices. It's like all the prices are going to go up.
The same. Oh, yeah, and they're going to go up.
Yeah, because it's like now you have no other options. Like
that's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. So anyway.
Interesting theory.
Some of the most best-selling products some of the best-selling products this holiday season were the Echo Dot, the Fire TV Stick with Alexa Voice Remote, the Echo Show 5, LOL Surprise, Glitter Globe Doll Winter Disco Series with Glitter Hair, iRobot Roomba 675, House Laboratories. What is that?
Yeah, what?
H-A-U-S Laboratories. What is that? I have no idea what that is. Oh, it is cruelty-free vegan cosmetics by Lady Gaga. So there you go.
On Amazon?
Yep. Carhartt, Amazon Basics, and Champion Items. Amazon said they now have 750,000 employees worldwide.
Wow.
Top 10 cities that use an Amazon locker or Amazon counter were Chicago, followed by Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland, San Jose, Berkeley, Austin, and Columbus. The last delivery from Amazon occurred on Christmas Eve at 11:59 p.m. in Seattle. That makes sense. Seattle's like their hometown.
Yeah.
Some of the most popular recipes that folks asked the A word about, you know, rhymes with Babexa, were Thanksgiving turkey, chocolate chip cookies, and fluffy mashed potatoes. The most searched for holiday movie on Fire TV was Home Alone, followed by Elf and mm-hmm. The Grinch. Nothing has changed with holiday movies mm-hmm. in recent years. It's like nothing.
Seriously.
Has there been a new one? I did watch that new one called Noel on Disney Plus.
With Anna
Kendrick.
The girl
from Cups. Yeah.
Cups.
Or is it called Cups?
Oh,
or
a
song
like
was
that.
Called Cups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Song
and
was called
was it
Cups.
Good?
Oh, it was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was okay. And some of the best-selling books at Amazon Bookstore was Dog Man Fetch 22, which I actually bought for my kid, but at Target, so I didn't contribute to that.
Okay.
And that was not a Christmas gift, by the way. That was just a flying on the plane gift, so... anyway, so that's the information about Amazon.
Nice.
I love, I kind of like, I'm sure you saw this, but all the end of year lists. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many. They're a dime a dozen. I kind of like, I don't find them that interesting. It's like the top artists that people listen to. It's like
Drake.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
Taylor
really?
Swift. Oh, okay. Could have, you know, it's like there's not much insight. There's one
it's
going
very
around.
Predictable.
Very predictable. There's one going around about like the top rock songs, and like 9 out of 10 were like Imagine Dragons or something. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, we get it.
We already know. Okay. This next question comes from Tony. Love your segment on Channel 5. Is there a way to recover deleted texts, especially those containing photos? Well, I wonder what kind of phone, but I'm pretty sure with iPhone, once it's gone, it's gone.
I'm going to guess it's iPhone, but there's a couple things. Even if you have iPhone or Android, mm-hmm. and I don't think either of these methods are going to be 100%, but if you do an iCloud backup of your system, mm-hmm. there is, if you look in your, like, okay, so there's two ways that iMessages are backed up. The first way is in the Messages app. If you look in there, there's like a little toggle in iCloud that says backup messages. Mm-hmm. And if you ever notice, if you sign into like a new phone or a new computer, and this is new, by the way, as of like last year when Apple introduced this, but all your messages are synced now across devices. And that's called iMessages in the cloud. You may or may not have that turned on. A lot of people don't want to turn it on because I don't know about you, but I have like 5 different devices. And when I get a text, they're like all going off with the iMessage. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I go to my iPad and like all my text messages are there that like, you know, I've already seen and stuff. but I see the benefit of it because you have all your messages in all your different places. That's number one. Now, if you deleted it from there, I would say the place to look is your iCloud backup. And this is kind of the master backup of your entire phone that happens every night when you plug your phone in and you leave it overnight to charge. So to find that, you have to go into your iCloud and just look for your iPhone backup. Now, you can't just go through your iPhone backup and kind of rifle through it.
Isn't it all mixed?
Exactly. But there are programs that will allow you to decipher what's on that backup.
Okay.
So the iPhone backup or the iCloud backup was never really meant to like, it's not like a file where you can just click through. Like ideally, it would be a file system where it would say photos, text messages, apps, whatever, data. And you would just be able to click through everything.
It's not like that.
It's Apple. They don't make it like that. They make it all compressed and weird and it's a million things. But there are apps that will sort through that data and help you find those text messages. I don't know why this person needs to find those. I'm assuming there was a password contained in some of those or a screenshot of a password.
It was a photo, though, especially containing photos.
It was a screenshot of a password that he forgot.
Oh, yeah,
and this
probably
is the only way to recover it. I'm assuming this is not like, you know, cheating or spousal or whatever.
No.
We're just assuming this is very kind, kind-natured.
Right.
But that's what I would say is you got to find some sort of third-party app to do this. Now, you can retrieve that backup and then put it back onto your phone, but like recover it. Mm-hmm. But it gets kind of complicated because then it erases all the stuff on your phone. It seems like a third-party app, which, by the way, you have to pay for these things. I think a popular one was like Dr. Phone, Dr. F-O-N-E, was a popular one for a long time. And that has data recovery solutions for, and I haven't used this app. Often these companies will send me these apps to kind of look at, and a lot of them are from, you know, overseas companies, and I'll try them, and it's like, okay, I see it. But anyway, Dr. Phone from Wondershare is one that you might try, but I would check into some of these things and just see. And you can, by the way, Android also does backups of your data as well, more and more now. So I would check, you can use these programs for either one of those.
But if you delete a text, like if you delete a thread, it's gone.
It's pretty much gone.
Yeah. But if you wanted to find it, you could.
Well,
it's just gonna...
okay. I'm giving the theory of, let's say you deleted it. You have to look at your backup. And let's say you have several backups.
Yeah.
Like almost like a time machine backup of like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Like you have to go back in time to find that text.
Got it.
Because if you're just doing a backup every night that erases the old backup, then it's going to be gone because if you waited 24 hours, that backup has pushed out the old one.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is tough because it all depends on how you back up your phone and what you're using to back it up and how you back it up and how often. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, sometimes people plug in their phone and they look in their backup and it says has not backed up in 3 weeks. You didn't even know that.
Uh-oh.
Then that might be your best case scenario because this text was in there and it was, you're like, yes, I didn't back up last night.
It's here.
So it really sort of depends on so many things. That's why I say it's very tricky to do this. Well, it is a new year and people are trying to be more mindful in the new year. People like my wife who was like, I'm downloading a journaling app to journal my life every day. And I said, good luck with that because most people basically do this for a couple of weeks. It's kind of like going to the gym. You go for the first couple of weeks of the year, and then you drop off, and that's it.
Well, that's negative.
Well, it's just
the
reality.
No, you're right. It's hard.
And
it's
say this because I actually downloaded one of these apps last year to try to start. It wasn't actually for journaling. It was more for a daily. It actually was for journaling because I wanted to keep.
I remember this.
Because I don't use Facebook anymore, like personally.
Yeah.
And Facebook used to be basically a journal. Because you would write like what you did that day and you'd show a picture of you with your kids or, you know, back in the day with your friends, like going out to dinner or whatever, and it would be shared. Now, Instagram is kind of like that, but you're only doing that like once a day or, you know, for a lot of people are not even
once
doing it once
month,
a day. Yeah, it depends on, it depends on how often you're using that.
Right.
But the point is a journal is much more private. You can put, you know, private thoughts in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever your need, I did some research on some of these journals to see which one I like and which one I think you'll like. I came up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's one that really stands out to me out of all these journals. There's actually two that stand out. But anyway, the first one is called Reflectly. And this is kind of, there's two journals that I've noticed, two types of journals. One is just like a diary that's online and you just type in stuff and it helps you kind of like put dates on there and pictures. The other is a guided journal, which I think is actually more useful in this day and age, because if you're going to have an app that's a journaling app, it should prompt you with certain things like, how do you feel today? Or what'd you do today? Or who'd you hang out with today? So that you don't have to think of everything, you know, kind of.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's asking you different things throughout the week, theoretically. Mm-hmm. If you just want to write down your thoughts, you get a pad and paper.
That's what I have, a journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You do, huh? Well, in my intro, I say that journaling is not just for teenagers anymore.
It's not.
Because you really think of journaling for teenagers, but when you talk about mindfulness and all this, you know, people are trying to get this heightened sense of awareness of themselves. Journaling is a big part of that. And it's different than social media, because on social media, you're just putting your highs. You're not really putting your real thoughts or your real, you know, just everything.
You're not as vulnerable.
Exactly. And so that's, and some people that pretend they are, like, there's some people I follow that, you know, they'll post these things, but like even the vulnerable picture or the vulnerable thoughts are really crafted to be, you know, whatever it is.
Right, right.
So Reflectly is a guided journaling app. This one asks you a series of questions like, how was your day? What did you do? How did you feel? The entries are called stories. They're really easy to complete. And it's free for 7 days. It's $48 a year after that. So that's Reflectly. I thought it was fine. Wasn't like, you know, I was like, it was okay. Dailyo, D-A-Y-L-I-O, helps you keep a personal diary without actually writing. You pick your moods and activities. So it's like happy, sad, whatever. And then what activities you did. So, you know, gym, this, that. I thought the funny thing was it didn't say work. So I actually had to add work as an activity, which I thought was like kind of weird that they left that out. But maybe they don't want you to talk about work because I don't know.
Yeah, wait, what?
If you want to add more context, you can also include some notes in your entries. The app also helps you create goals. Like if you want to watch more movies, read more, or eat healthy, it kind of tracks those achievements. So every time you mark that you watched a movie that day, you can see at the end of the month, did I watch more movies than last month? So that's kind of cool. I like that. There's a daily calendar tool, so you can see your daily mood. So if you put your mood in, you can see like all green days, all red days, all yellow days, all at a glance. So that's kind of neat. And you can pay $24 for the yearly premium plan with the ability to lock the app with a PIN. So I think that's kind of funny, is they hold you hostage with that, which, you know, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Journey is, they do let you set a passcode for free. They even let you store your entries in Google Drive for safekeeping. And they have apps for lots of different platforms. So some of these are only iOS or some of them are only Android. This one is pretty much very close to a digital diary. You know, you start an entry, it's all time stamped. And then at the bottom, there's these little buttons that let you add where you are, who you're with, how you feel, and also attachments like photos. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a digital journal that kind of helps you along, but doesn't necessarily ask you stuff. Plans on this one are confusing. I cannot figure out for the life of me what the difference is between the monthly membership plan or the lifetime premium plan, because the lifetime premium is like $8, but then the monthly is like $3.
So, wait, what?
You know, why would you not just go with the lifetime?
Right,
but I don't think the lifetime includes all the membership options. It's very strange. But anyway, now, if you just want a standard digital diary, the one I recommend is called Day One. Super straightforward. You kind of open it up. You get a time-stamped entry that just starts with an entry. And then you can add what you like, including video. So there's like video, audio, photos, drawings, or a scan. So let's say you go to a concert. You can scan your ticket, put it in there.
Cute.
If you still have a paper ticket, which you know, probably a screenshot at this point.
Yeah.
And it's $35 a year. It gives you all the features. So a lot of things, like I started writing a text entry, and that was fine. As soon as I wanted to add a photo, it was like, oh, you got to pony up to $35, which I think is fine. The other thing that's kind of cool, depending on how you use this, is you can turn your entries into a printed book at the end of the year.
Oh.
Which is kind of neat. So you can print
like
out. This was my second favorite, Day One.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. My favorite is Jour. I think that's how you say it. J-O-U-R.
Okay. Okay.
And you can tell this is a very slick, very high-end app that was designed with kind of today's users in mind. It nudges you with questions like, how do you feel right now? And it kind of guides you through, like when I set it up, it was like three different questions.
Okay.
And you just type the answers. It even has like some of the answers started. So it can be like, I feel dot, dot, dot. And you tap that and it starts to write that. And then you just have to type the rest. Or I've been doing dot, 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 and then you type that. So it like kind of nudges you to like think, which I thought was really great. They also have motivational quotes to help you along. And you're always free to start a fresh new entry without all the other stuff as well. Premium on Jour is kind of expensive. It's $60 a year. That gives you the ability to add photos to your entry. So again, all these diary apps, if you really want to get the most out of them, you're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense and it's fine. Otherwise, just use the Notes app on your phone and that's free. You know?
There's that too.
If you want free.
Or Google Doc, you could like start.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Google Doc for 2020 of all your.
But what I like about these apps is I think they nudge you to think in different ways.
Yeah.
Like with the day one, the way that it showed like scans or a picture. Like you just draw a little picture of like a little sketch one day, you know, and it's kind of fun. Like,
yeah.
Or whatever. I think that's kind of neat versus just like a Google Doc, which is free.
Right.
But it's just different. It's a different, these apps are kind of there to nudge you into doing this.
Right. Kind of like therapy.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Where they ask you questions.
Premium is $60 a year. And let's see, I said it gives you the ability to add photos. It also gives you access to a library of lessons on gratitude, self-confidence, and more. The Juror app reminds me of Headspace a lot. And it actually made me wonder why Headspace doesn't have, or maybe it does, a journaling function built in, or this might be a very good target for Headspace to acquire, to build that into their app. And once you have those two together, meditation and the journal app, it's like game over.
I'm Googling it if they have a journaling in Headspace.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
But yeah. Anyway, that is going to do it for the show, if you can believe it. I feel like these shows just get shorter and shorter, but they don't. But that's just the way it is. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for watching in the new year on KTLA 5. You also got me on social media at RichOnTech on Instagram. Coming up upon CES in the next week. So I will be doing a lot there with social media and the little videos and showing you all the cool stuff that I see there. Let's see, what else? Oh, something that's new. If you go to ratemypodcast.com/richontech, it will help you rate this podcast. So, it's ratethispodcast.com/richontech. What'd I say? Rate my podcast? ratethispodcast.com/richontech. And you go in there and it basically helps you leave a rating in Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcasting app is. Keep in mind, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, basically wherever you listen to audio. They have all become podcasting apps as well. So don't forget about that. You don't need two separate apps now to listen to your podcast. It's basically all in one for a lot of people. Let's see. I think that's going to do it. Producer Megan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Producer Megan.
Producer Megan on Twitter. And the website is richontech.tv. If you want to leave a question, just hit the contact button up at the top. That is the easiest way to get in touch with the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you real soon.